reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Let's sing it now. Yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name.
Soon He'll come in clouds.
Oh, yes, He will. Do you believe that this morning?
Saints of every race,
oh,
shall behold His face. Oh, and with Him will enter heaven's city.
Glory.
Ever to acclaim,
Lord.
What a lovely name.
Sing it. Yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Oh, what a lovely name.
Amen. Isn't that the greatest name you've ever spoken in your life? Isn't there more power in that name than any name in the world? Are you glad you're serving a risen Savior? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad God loves you? Are you glad He placed you here to declare His message of the hour? You're a chosen people. Give Him a good hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Amen. Now I want you to shake hands with somebody close to you. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them at church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Pray like you believe it right now. God bless you, my buddy. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star.
Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven.
Hallelujah. Let the saints proclaim. What a lovely name.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes, Brother Daniel, if you get ready to come this morning. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Brother Matt blessed your hearts, didn't he? Amen. Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord, what God's doing in the earth. We're glad to be a testimony that Jesus is alive. Amen. Please remember the Phillips family in the loss of their daughter, Michelle. We certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Pinky, Sister Phyllis, and all the brothers and the sister that the Lord would, and that entire family, that the Lord would comfort their hearts and be with them during this loss. Brother Keith Phillips says, well, the Lord willing, I will start round three of chemo tomorrow. I'm not ashamed to ask for the saints to deposit prayers in my prayer account. In my PrayPal account, it makes such a difference knowing that the people are with me. We're with you, Brother Keith. We're with you, buddy. Amen. It's a body move. And oh, by the way, chemo or not, I'm still healed. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Sue Harris, that's Dakota and Jaden's grandmother. She is moving here next week, asking for traveling mercy. So let's pray that the Lord would just let that all work out on to her good, and that she'll settle in very nicely. We'll all just worship the Lord together. We can do that, can't we? Amen. I want to pray for Sister Evelyn Wiggins. Homesick, has a very bad respiratory infection for about a month, so we want to pray that the Lord would touch her. Sister Jennifer Newsom is home, very sick, needs healing in her body. Let's remember that. Brother Gene Littleton says, please remember Sister Vella Baines and her son, Jerry. Both are in bad health. Also, Jerry has colon cancer and is not doing well. Also, please continue to remember my family in prayer. Thank you so much, Brother Gene. We continue to doing that, and I know God's got everything in control. We love you, buddy. We love Brother Gene, don't we? Amen. Please pray for Brother Lance Parker. Has acute pancreatitis, so we certainly want to pray for him this morning. The Lord would give him healing. Let him just receive his healing in his body. He's already healed. We're already healed. We just got to receive it. Amen. We just got to receive it. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you just raise your hand. Could we stand together this morning? Brother Daniel, you come. Take us to the Lord in prayer. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you, Brother Daniel.
Amen. Brother Matt did a great job last night. Amen. Struggling to live. You know, I was thinking a little while ago, when I was in the Navy, I used to have to fly all around the country, different places, and I remember going in the airport and be sitting in a seat waiting on a plane to come in, and you'll notice people just sitting there looking at magazines and taking it easy, but then you saw some people that was just walking backwards and forwards around the ticket booth, and the difference was one had a ticket, the other one was on standby. Amen. And you know, it's the same way with God. You can have a ticket and hear him say, well done, my good, faithful servant. Or you could be on standby and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want to have my ticket. Amen. I want to be ready to go, don't you? Amen. Let's pray over these requests. Heavenly Father, oh, what a privilege it is to be in this service again today. Camp meeting every day, Lord Jesus, with your presence. And Heavenly Father, we just praise you for everything you mean to us. God, we thank you for the service that we were seeing last night, how your spirit came down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service that we're in today. And we pray now, Lord, as we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you move for these needs this morning. God, for those over the internet, be with them, Lord, whoever they may be. Brother Don, God, I pray that you'll be with him on his trip. And, oh, God, we just pray that you'll bless this church and this people. Help us, oh, God, that we'll continue to grow in your spirit. God, we commit this service into your hands today. Pray that you'll take charge of every part of it, of this service, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless every one of them. Is that right? Can we say together, God bless our streamers? Let's give them a nice hand this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song, Get Up, in Jesus' name. Brother Matt made mention last night about stumbling and falling and doing this and doing that, but it's getting back up is what counts. You know, an action could be one thing. An action could be Brother Terry could talk to Sister Alice worse than a dog. He won't, but he could. But her reaction to his action makes all the difference in the world. Her reaction can make him so ashamed and so sorry. But her comeback is also make him want to hit her. But he would never do that. A reaction. It's not falling. It's getting back up. Get back up in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'll do it by the grace of God. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, but victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. They're laid out in the street. Poor lonely beggar, he was crippled in his feet. John and Peter passed him, saw his need was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Defeated, victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged,
oh, yeah,
and overcome with fear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews.
Oh, yes, he is.
And to take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
So, get up, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Our Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Yes, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim.
Get up.
What's the song we sing that's got about the three Hebrew children? What's the name of that song? What? No, not Through the Fire. You know it as good as I do. Think of it right now. Three Hebrew children. God, think it's half about three. It's a good song. We'll sing it when we find out what it's called. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a chorus this morning. We're going to have a couple of songs this morning. Sister Anna, Sister Ryan, Sister Cindy, if they'll come on the platform, be getting ready to sing. But we're going to hear track number two off of Sister Lindsay Gilruth's new CD. I've listened to this CD about four or five times all the way through, and it's just a real, real good CD. It'd be a blessing in your home. Some great songs, and we're going to hear track number two this morning, guys, if you will. But let's sing this chorus together. You know, I've seen about all this world I want to see. I've been a part of about everything I want to be a part of in this old world. I'm ready to leave here. Are you? My daughter asked me last night, she said, Dad, have you ever thought about retiring from leading singing? I said, well, yeah, I have.
And she said, well, you and Brother Donnie have been going a long, 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 long time. Well, I know Brother Donnie ain't quitting. And I'm scared to death too, because I'm afraid God will kill me. So, but you know, I do know that my best days are behind me. Your best days are behind you, most of you, unless you're a young person. But I do know this. It's Jesus that I'm really wanting to see. The one that gave his life, the one that died for me when I was in the pits of iniquity. Just like you. Just like you. He chose to call my name. He chose to take me off the shelf in the devil's pawn shop. He chose me. He chose me. And he chose you. Are you glad you're chosen? Are you glad you're not frozen? Are you glad you're chosen? Give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really. Sisters, if you come on. You can be seated this morning. Brethren, if you play that song for us, listen real close to this. I know it's going to be a blessing to you.
Seems there's so much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. Step into the valley unafraid. Yeah.
We go.
God, now breathe. So breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now.
Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come, and He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing. He's given a promise, and I'm gonna stand on every word His holy word has said. And holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. I
Going to make it, because he already said we were going to. Amen. I heard it said he took a picture of us. Took a picture long before we ever started in this existence. God already had a perfect image of you, of me, of our families, of our inheritance, our children. And he never takes his eye off that perfect picture. And his purpose and his will is to bring you to that image. I want to say, Lord, bring me to that image. Bring me to that image, that perfect image that you had before the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Amen. Brothers, I have a PowerPoint that I sent you. If you have it, amen, you could just have that ready. Have a few scriptures that we'll read, and then we'll just have you be seated. John chapter 10, we'll just have you turn there, and we'll begin looking at verse 10. John chapter 10. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Did you appreciate his word last night?
Amen.
Amen. I pray that it was a blessing and just felt to go in the continue in the same direction that we were last night, and just continue in that same channel and that same thought. The Lord's just had this upon my heart. Amen. And just want to carry right on. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. We'll begin reading here. Let's actually start at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but here's why the thief comes, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We'll turn to John chapter 16, just a few chapters over. John chapter 16 and verse 24. And in that day, verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Amazing that after all this time of being with Jesus, they hadn't recognized the authority and the power that was in his name. That actually the scripture says, Jesus said, up until this point, you haven't even asked anything in my name. He says, let's read it again. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I want full joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would us turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12. One more and we'll have you be seated. Amen. Just want to catch this one scripture here. Revelation chapter 12. Amen. And verse 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil knows it. Do we know it? That there's only just a small little space of time left. That's why the devil fights harder than ever before. Remember, he's not omniscient. He doesn't know all things like God knows. All he knows is what he can see, literally, physically. I'm speaking literally here. He's not like God. He can't read the mind. The only way the devil knows where time is in history is by watching and seeing. He sees it when he sees the depravity, the immorality. He sees it when he sees homosexuality on the rise. He knows the Bible and he believes the Bible. He's a believer. The Bible says you believe in God, so does the devil. He fears and he trembles. He knows the scripture says that in the coming of the Son of Man, that it shall be just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The devil sees the days of Sodom coming and he knows, must be short. Something's about to take place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. We just ask, oh God, would you come and make your word real to your people? Father, I believe, Lord, that you're here because you've been invited and you come where you're invited, Lord. Father, now may you just feel comfortable amongst us. Lord, may you take this simple little thought that you've given me. Lord, you've burdened my heart with a heavy burden, Lord. Something, Father, maybe today's service, Lord, would be something that would be real personal to me, Lord, because you dealt with me on such a personal level, Lord, when you gave me this inspiration. Father, but I want that to, Lord, not just bless me, but allow me to communicate that burden to these people so that they can be blessed and edified also. We ask, Lord, that you would come and have your way. Take control of this service in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I'd like to speak to you on taking back your God-given property. Brother Branham says here in the resurrection of Lazarus, and you have this, you could put it up, and man becomes a son of God, not human himself, but the Holy Spirit that's in him is God. The Creator lives in the creation. Oh my, how I think of that. Then stand with an unwavering faith and ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. There he is. There he is. He says in the message, what was the Holy Ghost given for? The same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. When it will be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. There'll be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. When it will be so powerful, Brother Branham says this Holy Spirit will come under such power and such authority in that church. That's me, brother. That's you. That'll literally draw the rest of them from the grave. Oh, God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection. That when the church and Christ become so close together, till Christ becomes visible among us, and raises the dead, and we go in the rapture.
He says, oh, don't worry. God is waiting and trying and pressing to get at the mystery of God revealed to his church. That's what's holding back the coming of Christ now. And the great millennium is this great supernatural power that really lays dormant in the church. You know, there's been power and authority that was given to Jesus. There was power and authority that was given to the Son of God. And the Bible says that all that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into his church. So we know that we've been given supernatural power and authority over the devil. But the prophet says the problem is that it lays dormant within the church. He says also it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must bring forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. Notice this. And with the restoration of the word will come the restoration of power. With the restoration of the word will come the restoration of power. I think what it meant when the scripture says here, just speaking of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, and brothers, you can just follow me as I quote these. The Bible says it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scripture says he taught them as one having authority. This word authority means with mastery, with power, with liberty, as one who is in control. Now these people had heard from the scribes their entire life. They had heard Pharisees teach and Sadducees teach. And they were not illiterate men, but they were educated, eloquent in their speech. If you ever heard someone, and it's fascinating just to listen to someone, a professor of any kind of subject, when a person knows the subject that they study and they know the material, you even hear a theologian break down certain Greek words and words in the Bible. It can become fascinating just to listen and to hear the sheer brilliance of how well they know the subject. If you hear a scientist start to break down something on the scientific level, something, you know, me or you could sit and listen and it just sounds like they're speaking another language. But yet we can become so impressed just by the intelligence of that person because they know the subject very well. They don't struggle when they speak. They speak it and it just flows. And the Bible says this is how the people heard the teachers, the Pharisees, as they took the law of Moses and they were so skilled. And I heard it said in one way that they could take a scroll that was written and the law was written in that scroll and they could take a pen and stick it through the rolled up scroll and tell you every letter that the pen hit. Because they knew the scroll so well. And the people had listened for so long to these Pharisees and to these scribes as they were intelligent. But let me tell you, before Jesus came on the scene, there were still lepers. There were still diseases. There were people who could not speak. There were mothers who had lost children. There was adulterers and adultery. There was fornication. There was sickness. There was blind people. And I ask you, where did they go for healing? Where did they go for deliverance? When a mother had a child who was bound by a demon spirit, these demons didn't just show up suddenly when Jesus came on the scene. But Satan had been afflicting God's people. He had them in bondage and in under slavery. He had been afflicting them with disease. He had been afflicting them with sickness and with bondage of sin. There in those days, where, I ask you, could the family go who was struggling with marriage and a marriage maybe on the brink of divorce? And you know, Moses, these were people, these were children of God. Where could they turn to when their child was so full of a disease that he literally convulsed and shook in his body and they didn't know what to do with him? Where did they take their children and their family when they were addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol and addicted to things of the world? Where could they take the church? Because where could they take their family? All they could take them to was to a Pharisee who could recite the Word of God, who could teach the Word of God, and they could bring it under such a teaching. But at the end of the day, it didn't bring deliverance to the child. It didn't bring deliverance to the marriage who was struggling. These people needed a person who didn't just have an intelligence of the law, but they needed to hear someone who had authority when he spoke, who had power when his words came across his mouth. And the scripture says, when they heard them, they were astonished because he didn't just speak authoritatively. You know, there's a very big difference in speaking authoritatively and speaking with authority. A man can scream and raise his voice, and he could act like he has authority. He could yell and have a boisterous tone to his voice. And even a person can become in fear, and you could become, you know, shook up a little bit by that when a person yells. But there's a difference when a person speaks authoritatively and when a person speaks with authority. And the Bible says that he spoke, he taught them as one having authority. This was a person who knew who he was. He knew who he came from. He knew that upon his words, all of heaven listened. He knew that heaven backed up his words. And when his words and the voice and the oxygen that God gave him in his body started coming up from his lungs and touched his vocal cords, all heaven listened to the words of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, where could they take their families when they were addicted? Where could they take their children when they were addicted? Where could they take their families when they were broken? Where could they turn? Where could they go? And today I ask the same question. Where can we come to when our families are in trouble? When our children are addicted? When our families are struggling? When we have problems and real issues? Oh, my brother and my sister, we don't need a theology lesson. We don't need some kind of intelligence or a person who could speak eloquently or a person who could speak intelligently. The churches of the world today are filled with men who could speak more eloquent than me or any other brother here today. They're filled with people who spent years and sat in a school and listened to theology and doctrines of divinity, and they taught them in the Greek and they taught them in the Hebrew and they studied the Word of God, and they come out of that school and they're put in a pastorship of a church, and they start a church on the man's ability or the man's intelligence. And they build programs. Why? Because that's all that they have to hold the people. They build programs and they build dramas, and they put a school in the church. Nothing wrong with that. And you notice every year these great churches get bigger and bigger, and their budgets and their programs get bigger and bigger, and they become more intelligent. And it's filled today. It's filled with churches of programs and skits and funny jokes, and their sermons are filled with one-line jokes and one-line things, trying to have some kind of substance to give to the people. They put a coffee shop in their vestibule for people to be able to have a Starbucks coffee and a donut while they sit in church. Why? Because that's all they have. But I ask you, my brother, where can the hurting go? Where can the hungry go? Where can the bound go? Coffee can't set you free. Donuts cannot fix your marriage. Programs cannot give you power. But what we need today is not a donut or a coffee. We need people with authority and power to break the grip and the chains of the enemy. We need power and authority, because we're facing a real devil. We have real problems. We have families with real issues. And I say today, we don't need a skit. We don't need a funny joke. We need the power of Almighty God in a real way to come and break the grip of the enemy off of our life. And when Jesus came, he brought power and he brought authority. He spoke, and that's why they asked him, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave thee this authority? They asked him, in whose name did you cast out these devils? In whose name did you do these things? In what power or what authority did you cast out this devil? They wanted to know, where did you get your power? Where did you get your authority? Where did you get the way that you, where is it coming from? Where is this power coming from? Oh, what the church didn't know and what the world didn't know is that God was restoring kingdom authority and kingdom power back to the people of God. And he spoke as a king speaks. He spoke in parables and he always referred to kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of heaven. Now today we don't even know what kingdom means. And we read that word and we recite that scripture, the kingdom of heaven, behold the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But do we really know what it really means? Back in those days, there were real kings and there were real kingdoms. The age that I grew up, born in, I've never, since the every day I've been here on earth, I've never been to a real, there is a couple kingdoms, a couple real kings, but really, there's really no such thing. Even the United Kingdom, they call it the United Kingdom, but it's not united and it's not a kingdom. They have a king and they have a queen, but you know what? That queen has nothing to do with their everyday life. She's nothing more than a symbol. And Britain has not had a king since, you know, with the last king they had, the man who wrote this Bible, King James, was the last king who actually ruled, because there's something different in a sovereign, in one who rules and one who's a king or a queen. You see, you can actually have a person as a queen and call herself a sovereign or a king or a queen, but there's a very real difference when that person rules their kingdom. And Jesus came to rule his kingdom. Brother Branham says this, he says, I'm afraid that the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that Holy Ghost born men don't realize their authority or the authority that God has permitted to his church. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Brother Branham says, so exercise your faith. Let it loose. Let God have his way. Oh God, the great spirit in the beginning, before there was a beginning, he was God. And did you know you were in him then? If you're a Christian now, you were in him then. And if that be so, the whole Godhead bodily shaped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus died at the cross, I died with him. For I was in him. He was the fullness of the word manifested, knowing that we would be manifested later. And we were at Calvary with him. He went in the grave and we went in the grave with him. We raised with him in his resurrection. And now we've ascended by his spirit into the throne of grace, setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. And when the entire word of God, incomplete, was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ, in there, God made me pay for my sins in him there. Then he raised up, and then he raised me up with him in the resurrection. And now we are seated together, and now we're seated together with him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, if you could only believe what God has given you. Jesus spoke the word and it was so. Why? The scripture said so. The Bible says he gave him authority and he gave him power. And Jesus said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents and drink deadly things and it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Oh, why cry? Speak, Moses, and go forward. If you say to this mountain, not if you pray to this mountain. Not if you pray to this mountain, but if you say to this mountain. Because authority comes by the voice. Authority comes by words. Authority comes not by nodding, not by thinking, but by speaking. God gave us a voice. Let the redeemed of the Lord, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why cry unto me? Speak if you say to this mountain, not pray. But if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Amen. And Brother Branham says Satan knew that he had just a short time. That's what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 12. He said that he knew that he had just a short time. And he knew, so what was he trying to do? He was trying to attack the purpose and the seed of God. That's why he infiltrated the human race in the Garden of Eden. He was trying to destroy the seed of God. And he thought he was successful. He thought he had accomplished his purpose. But God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a seed and I'm going to put a seed down inside of the earth, down inside of the ground. I'm going to bury the treasure. I'm going to hide the treasure from the devil in a realm called the soul. Because the devil can afflict the flesh. He can give us diseases. He could give us sicknesses. He could give us bodily harm. He could even destroy our own human body. And he could also attack your spirit. He could also attack your memory. He could start to get you and attack you on your affection and your reasoning and your conscience and your memory. But God said, but I'm going to put my elected seed not in the flesh, not in the spirit. I'm going to hide it in the soul because the devil can't get to the soul. Hallelujah. And God knew when you heard the word of God, maybe you didn't even realize it, but something not in your flesh, not in your spirit, but something down on the inside of you responded to the word of God. That's why Brother Branham said, if you are gods, you always were gods and you never cannot be gods. Jesus said, I come from God. I go back to God. He knew where he came from, and where he came from gave him authority and power. Do you know where you come from? Do you know that you were in the back part of God's mind as an attribute, a spiritual gene of your father, and you came to this world to be tested and tried and your character to be refined? But when you heard the word of God, you recognized that as eagle's food. You heard from your theophany. Hallelujah. And Satan thought he had him, but God's seed, his line would go on through all the way through redemption. And Satan would follow that line. It's even said that the tree of knowledge, good and evil. I seen a painting one time. It was a picture of a literal tree, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And they were so close together that their branches actually intertwined. And the prophet of God says this in the church age book. He said the trees were so close, they literally, their branches intertwined one in another. What was it? Satan trying everything he can to destroy that seed of God. And he thought he had him when he killed Cain and when he killed Abel. He thought he had him when he destroyed Abel, but then there came a Seth. And he thought he had him when he destroyed Seth. But then there came a Jacob. He thought he had him when he destroyed Abraham, when he destroyed Isaac. But God's seed and his purpose kept moving and kept flowing. Jesus said, here's my purpose. I've come that they might have, they be in my seed, that they might have life. And here's the devil's purpose: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what his purpose is. And just as busy as God has been in his purpose, Satan has been just as busy trying to destroy, to steal, and kill from the family of God. Amen. He literally followed that seed line, and he followed that line all the way till he came to Jesus Christ. He knew something was different about this person. The Bible says that the demons, the devils even knew when they seen him, they said, why have you come to torment us before our time? They recognized the spiritual authority that Jesus had. They recognized the spiritual authority. They recognized, though he didn't look like it, he was a king. Now his kingdom was not on the earth. He was a king from heaven. And he laid aside his crown. He laid aside his royal robes and he built a body. He created a sperm and an egg and the blood cell, and he came forth as a human being. He was the man God. He was the man God, the God man. Brother Branham says it this way: he was 100% God. And he was 100% man. Don't let anybody ever tell you that he wasn't a man. He was in every way tempted and tried and tested in every category that you as a human being, in order to be a kinsman redeemer, he took on flesh just like your flesh. He got tired. He got weary. He felt pain. Oh, when they nailed him to a cross and they nailed that stake in his hand, he felt the pain as a man. He felt the agony as a man. He became so tired that God had to send angels to minister unto his spirit. Satan knew something different. Satan eventually recognized who he was, tried to tempt him in the wilderness, took him to a high mountain, tried to get him to cast himself down, said, surely God, the angels will bear you up. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Tried to get him to come to his position, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. Brother Branham says, but Jesus knew one day he's going to inherit those kingdoms anyway. And he defeated the devil in the wilderness, and he comes out of the wilderness with power and with authority. He's baptized in the Jordan River, and Satan thought when they arrested him. So what does his plan start to do? He tries to destroy that seed of God. He tried to destroy him. He arrested him. And the Bible says that they crowned him with a crown of thorns. They spit in his face. They mocked him. They slapped him in the face. And the Bible says they hung him upon a cross and nailed him to a tree. No doubt Satan thought he had him. Because Satan knew the plan of God. Now remember, Satan is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He doesn't know all things. He believes the word. And Satan listened and listens to the voices of prophets, because he knows that the word comes to the prophet. And no doubt Satan was reading the words of Isaiah. No doubt he was reading when Jesus stood in the temple and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. No doubt Satan said, that's exactly what Isaiah said. That's exactly what the prophet said. No doubt when Jesus moved and he did signs and wonders and miracles and he had authority and he had power. So Satan, knowing my time is short, the scripture says he's upset and he has fury and he has anger because he knows he has just a short space of time to interrupt the program of God. And you know what he knew? He knew that God, as the prophet said, judged him as a sinner. And Satan knew that if he died a sinner, he'd go to hell. No doubt he had been scheming and he had been planning, had this entire thing all worked up. He's going to use the very word of God against God himself. And the Bible says that the earth turned, the sky turned black, and the sun hid its face. What is it? It looks like victory for the devil. It looks like victory for the kingdom of darkness. It looked like victory for the devil himself. And Jesus died, and they took his body, and they put him in a tomb. Oh, I could just hear hell starting to shout. I could hear the party start getting, I could hear the party starting down in the realms of the lost and Satan and his demons. And remember, he doesn't know everything. For all he know, what a dumb devil. What a dumb devil. He thought he could kill him as a sinner and God would send him to hell. And that's exactly what he did. Brother Branham says, here he goes. Oh, the Bible says the same that ascended is the same one who descended and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not in the long suffering in the days of Noah. And so Jesus descends. His theophany goes down into hell. You think he was just laying in that tomb and his body is just laying there. But what the devil didn't know and what the disciples didn't even know, it's the mighty conqueror was busy at work conquering his kingdom. They thought he was just laying there doing nothing, but he was busy at work. And he goes down into the realm of mortals. You know, just below the region of mortals, the region of mortal beings, lays the realm of demon power. Just below this realm of mortals, just below us, in another dimension. Prophet of God said that just above us is the dimension of angels and powers and supernatural, just in another dimension. Amen. And to go up just a little bit beyond that is paradise, where Abraham and Isaac and Ezekiel was. And then just above that dimension is heaven itself, where the Son of God, where God himself is. Amen. But take that the reverse, the other way. Prophet of God said just below this realm of mortals lays the realm of demon power. And below that, above that, lays the souls of the unjust. And below the souls of the unjust lays the very domain of Satan himself. Hell. Hades. Guiana. They called it many different things in the Bible. They called it Guiana because outside of Jerusalem, Guiana was the ditch where they put all the trash and they burn it. And they called it on fire and it burned with fire for days. Hell, where Satan was. Just below, just above us, lays the Holy Spirit. Then under the altar lays the souls of just men. And the next is God himself. One going downward, one going upward, and you're caught right in the middle of those two realms. And the prophet of God says your entire life, the realm from below is trying to influence you. And the realm from above is trying to influence you. There's where your battle is. And Jesus dies and he goes down there. Oh, I could see him on Friday afternoon after his death. Oh, he comes to the door and the regions of the lost. And he knocks on the door. Brother Branham says, in there was women and children and men, those unjust ones who didn't repent in the long-suffering days. He was going to preach to souls that were in prison.
Young ladies down there, men down there, women down there. There was old, there was young. They were all together in this hideous place. The prophet says, I seen that hideous place one time in a hospital bed. I seen it. I seen hell, and I was falling and falling and falling and falling. Seemed like I would never stop falling. What is it? Brother Adam sees hell. The prison of the lost souls. Oh, in that mournful place, in that hideous place, Jesus walked to the door, and everything had to witness that he was the Son of God. They had been preached to in the long-suffering days of Noah, and Jesus said, you remember when you were young and you were in the days of Noah? You remember when Noah was preaching? Noah was preaching about me. I'm the one who Noah was preaching about, and I'm the one who was anointing and inspiring Noah to preach. Jesus says, I'm the one who Enoch spoke of. I'm the one who Enoch spoke of. I'm the seed of the woman. Satan has no idea what's taking place. He's in hell, celebrating, partying, music's loud, everybody's dancing. For all he knows, he's got victory. Little does he know, Jesus is just one realm above him, preaching a sermon. And Jesus said, I was the seed. I'm the one who Enoch spoke of. I'm the seed of the woman that was to bruise the serpent. Every word of God has been fulfilled. I died just a little bit ago, yonder on Calvary. My blood is still wet on the cross. And at Calvary, I purchased my church. And then Brother Branham says he goes on down just a little bit further. He goes down into the regions of demons, on to the very gates of hell. And he knocks at the door. I imagine as the partying was going and the music was loud, suddenly someone says, hey, do you hear that? Yeah, it sounds like someone's knocking. And suddenly they said, turn the music down. And they hear a knock. Satan says, oh man, I thought everybody was here. Who's missing? Brother Branham says he knocks at the door. Oh, his body was laying in the tomb. Little did they know the mighty conqueror was visiting the just and the unjust. He was visiting the very gates of hell. He was visiting the very torment and Hades, the very place and the seat and the throne of the devil. Brother Adam says, when he does, the devil comes to the door. And I can just hear him say, oh, it's you. You finally arrived. God judged you as a sinner and now you've come to hell. Brother Branham says, oh, there he comes. And Satan says, oh, you finally arrived. I thought I had you when I killed Abel. I thought I had you. And Brother Branham says, you see, when the seed was promised in the Garden of Eden, the devil has constantly tried to destroy that seed. And the death of Abel, coming of Seth, was just death, burial, and resurrection. And the seed must continue. And he said, I thought I had you when I destroyed Abel. I thought I had you when I destroyed the prophets. I was positive I had you when I beheaded John. But now, after all this time, you finally arrived. And I've got you now. Brother Branham says, I could just hear Jesus say, come here, Satan. Now, he wasn't yelling. He wasn't screaming. He didn't have a boisterous voice. He knew who he was. He knew his mission. He knew his purpose. And he knew all heaven was going to back up his words. And he said, come here, Satan. I'm the boss now. He reaches over and grabs the keys of death, hell, and put it on his side. And he says, I want to serve you and put you on notice. You've been a bluff long enough, devil, but I'm the virgin-born Son of God. My blood is still wet on the cross, and the debt has been paid.
You have no rights no more, devil. You have no authority anymore, Satan. You're stripped. Give me those keys. They belong to me. Hallelujah. That's why the book of Revelation says, Jesus said, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last, and I have the keys of hell and death." Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham says, that's right. He turned around and gave him a good healthy kick. And he slammed the door and said, "Stay in there, devil. I'm the boss from now on." I got the keys to death and hell. And I can hear him as he starts up. Easter's coming. Time's passing fast. But there's another group. Where's Job? Where's Abraham? Where are they at? Where's those fellows that trusted God's word? He's forgotten them. Did death annihilate them? Was it all over? Never, prophet says. Never. God has to keep his word. I could see him take a little peep into paradise, look over, and I could see Sarah and Abraham walking around up there. And after a while, they hear a knock. Brother Branham says, "Oh, looky here. Something on the door." Abraham goes and opens the door. He said, "Honey, come here. Look here. Look, that's the very same one that stood with me under the oak tree on that day and made a promise to me. That's the same one." Oh, just then I could see Daniel look over. And Daniel said, "That's the rock that was hewn out of the mountain. Just as certain as I'm standing here, that's the very same one." I could see Job rise up and say, "That's my Redeemer that I said. I knew that he lived. And someday I'd see him with my own eyes." Ezekiel looks over the top. Ezekiel says, "I've seen that same person. He was the wheel in the middle of the wheel, turning way up in the middle of the air. Here comes Enoch." Enoch said, "I saw him coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment."
All right. Amen.
My brethren, Jesus says, "I'm the one that you think I am. I'm the seed of the woman. I'm the son of David. I'm the son of God. I was the rock in the wilderness. I was the manna that fell from heaven. I was the quail that you ate in the morning. I was the brazen serpent that was lifted up to deliver you from diseases. I am he who was alive, who was dead, but is alive forevermore. I am the first. I am the last. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and all power in heaven and earth has been given to me." All authority and all power has been given to me. I have the keys of death and hell. Do you realize the authority and the power that you have? The church has been living too long under the torment of a bluff, of a defeated enemy, of a defeated coward who was defeated at Calvary, and his power was stripped from him, and power has been given to you as a son or daughter of God. Brother Branham says, "I don't care how weak you think you are and how little you think you are in the body of Christ, even if you're the skin on the bottom of the feet, you still have every devil in hell underneath you." I say, rise up today and recognize your position in Jesus. Take back what Satan has stole from you. You know, Satan's a thief. That's what he is. He was defeated and lost his power. But what he does is he's a thief. Jesus says he's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. You know, a thief takes other people's property. Something that doesn't belong to him. A thief doesn't come in broad daylight.
He doesn't come in the middle of the day.
A thief comes, he doesn't come in the broad daylight and announce that he's there, but he comes when you're asleep and you're not watching and you're tired. You know, we had a thief break into our neighborhood, a neighborhood that we've moved from now, lived in. Decent, nice neighborhood, nothing, you know, no kind of major crime in it. Had my car broken into, I think, 3 times. Left, I never lock my car because I don't ever leave anything in it that's valuable. The only thing, I got out to my car that morning and I went to work and got in my car and it was just a mess. Everything everywhere. My DVDs, my CDs, all my, I had maybe 30 cents in pennies. It was just stretched everywhere. And I thought, man, Rachel got in here and she was looking for something, messed my car up. I called her, waited for her to wake up. I said, honey, what did you do to my car? She said, I was calling you to ask the same question. What'd you do to my car? The thief had went in mine, rummaged through it, went into hers, rummaged through it, and destroyed both of them. Suddenly it dawned on us. There's been a thief. He broke into, I think he broke into 47 cars. 47 or it was almost 50. Broke into people's vehicle. I talked to the investigator who was looking into it, trying to find the thief. He said, you know, this is a thief of opportunity. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, he's not someone who wants to confront anyone. He doesn't want a confrontation with you. He's a thief of opportunity. He says, most likely he's walked through this neighborhood in the middle of the day. You've probably seen him multiple times. I said, really? He said, oh, I'm sure of it. I'm sure, he said, if someone has security video or footage of him, we'd probably find him. He said, because this kind of thief goes in the middle of the day, walks up and down the road, waves to you, says hello, and he watches you. He watches and patterns you. He watches, when do you leave? When are you at home? When are you at church? In fact, one of the families who was broken into, it was while they were at church. He came in and stole everything that they had. Stole their big 68-inch plasma TV. I thought, well, he's going to be disappointed if he comes into my house. Ain't nothing to take in the spot of the TV except a Hoffman's Head of Christ. You can have it. You might need it. He said he's a thief of opportunity. He comes in and he takes, he watches and he waits. He watches for you to let your guard down. He tries to make you comfortable with him. Thought, really? He says, yeah, he's probably been, you know, canvassing this neighborhood, watching your schedule. When do you go to work? When does your wife go to the grocery store? When are you home? When do your kids go here, go to school? And he waits for his chance and his opportunity, and he takes. The thief comes when you're not focused, when you're sleeping and you're tired. And Satan robs people most when they become spiritually tired and unfocused. This is exactly what Jesus was saying, what the scripture says when it says, be vigilant. Be sober. Because your adversary is like a lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So be sober. Be sober. Be clear. Be alerted. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Be spiritual. Don't get lax. Don't get loose. Because the minute you get sleepy, Satan comes and robs you blind. Satan comes and robs you blind. The Lord begin to just deal with me on a very personal level when he gave me this inspiration. And begin to see this, that the devil had robbed me and stolen things from me. Robbed me of my spiritual health. Robbed me of my spiritual appetite. Because that's what he is. He's a robber. He's a thief. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. Satan hates marriage. You know why he hates marriage? Because it's a covenant. It's a bond. And a real God-given bond brings unity. And when you have marriages and families that are unified, guess what? You have a church that is unified. And when you have families that are in discord and disunified, most of the time church problems are a result of family problems. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. A thief doesn't come and announce that he's there, but he comes when you're unfocused. And once he's stolen from you, he doesn't call you in another state when you're out of town. He doesn't call you and say, "Hey, nana, nana, boo, boo, I stole your iPad. Nah, I stole your laptop." He doesn't even tell you. In fact, he hopes you don't notice that it's missing. The thief's job is to leave quietly, to not even to cover his tracks, to show no sign of a disturbance. And suddenly you look around one day and you go, "Hey, where'd that go?" I bought a very expensive, for me it was very expensive, probably close to $500, just one tool I needed for one job. Wasn't going to use it much. And because of that, I put that tool in a spot, didn't think anybody would ever take. Didn't need the tool again for a really long time. One day we just happened to be thinking about it and thought, you know, where is that thing? Where did I put that? Started looking through my garage, looking through my stuff. Called one of my guys. I said, "Hey, is it on the truck?" No, you know, I haven't seen that yet. "Well, how long did you buy that?" I said, "You know, it's been, man, probably a year and a half or so. Been a long time." Started looking everywhere. Finally remember where I was and realized it was stolen. And all that time, I had no idea it was even missing. Until I needed it. Samson didn't realize his strength was gone until he needed it. He didn't know he had given something away. And the Bible says, and he knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed him. He shook himself and said, "I'll go out as every other time." And he knew not Satan had stolen something from him. And Satan comes and he takes things and he robs things from our life. And then one day we look around and we say, "Hey, hold on a minute. Where did that go?" You know, Satan steals our prayers, steals our prayer life. Jesus said, as we quoted last, our 1 Thessalonians says, we quoted last night, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Yet Satan will bring every kind of distraction and every kind of shiny thing to keep you unfocused and to keep you distracted. This age we live in is full of distractions. He takes things in our life that are not sinful and he makes them sinful. He takes things that you may have liberty to do. You know, the Apostle Paul said something that just struck me in just a profound way. It's not left me. In 1 Corinthians, brother, if you'll put that up, that'd be great. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I don't know how quick you can do that, but I wanted to show this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You can turn if you have your Bible. 1 Corinthians, notice this, chapter 6, verse 12. All things, everything... all things are lawful to me. In other words, I'm allowed to do all things. I have liberty in Christ. But not all things are profitable. Now he's going to change thoughts. He's going to give us a second thought. Notice this. All things are lawful for me, or I'm allowed to do everything, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Amen. I want that to sink in for a moment. All things are lawful. Paul says, I could do, I have liberty in Christ. I'm set free from the bondage of the law. All things are lawful. But Paul says, but I will not allow anything in my life to have such a place in my life that it takes control over me. And there are some things in your life, brothers, and there are certain things in your life, sisters and young people. There are certain things that you can do that you say there's nothing wrong with them. They're not sinful in and of themselves. But what the devil wants to do, he's a thief and he's a robber. He wants to take that harmless thing and wrap you up. And wrap you up and put you on a routine to where you got to do it every day at the same time, every week on a routine. And he robs you of time with your children. He robs you of time with your family. He robs you of time in the house of God. He robs you of time in your prayer closet. All things are lawful, but not all. Nothing will have the power over me. You take activities, I don't care what it is, harmless things, recreational things that brothers do. You take a sport that maybe you like to play, but let that sport suddenly have power over you. And you'll notice one day, you'll look around one day and go, hey, where'd my prayer life go? Hey, why am I getting upset over that? That never bothered me before. And suddenly your temper flares up. You don't know why you're angry all the time. And right on your surface, you're just ready to explode. You think, well, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And things that never used to trip you up before, now suddenly you start to struggle with. Am I preaching to anybody today? Hallelujah. Suddenly you look around one day and you realize those things that were harmless and nothing wrong with them, suddenly you realize they have power. I'm going to close. Give me just a minute. He steals and he robs and he takes. He steals love. He steals faith. He kills slowly, slowly. Spiritual death comes one compromise at a time. One time you compromise on one little thing, and then the next time it's easier and it's bigger and it's bigger and it's bigger. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals tithes. Do you know that God said when you don't pay tithes and offerings, you are robbing from God? And suddenly you find people that have faithfully paid tithes for years, and suddenly something comes in their life and just stops. Look around and go, how long has it been since I gave an offering? How long has it been since I gave tithes to the Lord? That's not your money. It's the Lord's. Amen. You think these little things don't matter. As we learned last night, they matter. It's not just the Jerichos that God wants you to conquer. He wants you to also have victory over the little puny AIs in your life. He steals love. Mothers from children. Fathers from children. He steals time. He's a stealer and a robber of time. He fills your life with stuff to rob you of your children's childhood. And suddenly you look back one day and you go, wow, they're gone. And you realize your entire life was robbed and built with stuff that doesn't really matter. You see, Satan knows that he can't get you from your salvation. He knows he can't rob you of your redemption. So what does he do? He takes the quality of your life as a believer in Jesus Christ and he tries to destroy because he's a destroyer. He kills by addictions. He takes little things in our life, things that are harmless, and we become addicted to them, to where we have to have them at the same time, every day. He's a thief, he's a robber, he's a destroyer, and he's taken, and he's robbed, and he stole. And I got a message for today, devil. You've been stealing for too long, and today you've been exposed. Today, devil, you've been exposed for who you are. You thought that you could take from me my entire life. But God said, God gave me a message. And I said, Lord, I feel like I've been robbed. I feel like I've been stolen. What can I do? And the Lord said, you've got to go back to the enemy's camp. And you've got to take back what the devil stole from you. You've got to take back what the devil's taken from your family and from your church and from your mind. And you've got to say, today, Lord, you say, how am I going to do it? Is it just going to suddenly come? Am I just going to pray a prayer and God's just going to give it back to me? God said, no, you've got to buckle up. You've got to stand up. You've got to be willing to fight. You've got to be willing to go into Canaan and say, I'm coming back, devil. I'm here to take everything that you've stolen from me. Hallelujah! You've got to take back what the devil stole from you. You've got to stop being pushed around. Shamgar got sick and tired of being robbed and being stolen from every single year. If the Philistines would come, he was just a simple little farmer just trying to live his life. Philistines would come and take his crops. Take everything he worked for, and his family would huddle up, no doubt, hiding under the bed, hiding in the storm cellar, hiding in the closet. Shh, don't say anything. Maybe they'll know that we're here and they'll destroy us. Just let them take it. But one day, Shamgar said, I'm tired, and I'm sick and tired of just letting him take it. I'm sick and tired of letting the devil rob me and steal from me and pillage me and take everything that I've worked for my family and for my children. He got sick and tired of seeing a starving wife and starving children and cellars and cabinets that were empty. So Shamgar picked up an ox goad. Wasn't a sword. It wasn't a spear. It was a farmer's plow, a piece of equipment. And God said, take what's in your hand, Shamgar. You don't need to wait on some kind of sword or some kind of special sermon or some kind of super preacher. You don't need to wait on some kind of super faith or some kind of supervision. All you've got to do is take what I've already given you. Go to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from you. Oh, how many people are here today to say, I'm going to take back what the devil's stolen from me. I'm going to take back my property that God has given me. Oh, stand to your feet today. I'm not going to be pushed around, musicians. I'm not going to be pushed around anymore. I'm not going to be a punching bag anymore. I'm not going to be pushed around. Had a young man come after I preached this sermon only one other time at our church just a week or so ago. A young man whose family had going through horrible times and a mother and father just in, and it looks like unless the Lord does something miraculous, the family's going to lose, break up in divorce unless God moves. Horrible situation. Devil just attacking this family, attacking his home, attacking his mother, attacking his father, attacking his mother with drugs and all kinds of things. Life is just a total mess. And every time I see that young man come to church, I say, thank you, Lord, for a miracle. Because it's a miracle he has any desire whatsoever to be in the house of God. It's a miracle that he has any desire at all. And he sits there with his head down. And in every service, he just sits there with his head like this, watching. You know what, though? No one criticizes him. They know what that boy's going through. And every service, he's slumped over. And he's got his head in his hands. Last Sunday, two Sundays ago, preached this message. And I looked over, and as I was preaching, He suddenly took his head out of his hands and he started looking up, watching, had his eyes connected with me. Before I knew it, he was sitting up in his chair. Before I knew it, he had his arms like this. I looked over one time and he was raising his hands. Tears was coming down. He came to the altar and he said, I'm sick and tired of getting pushed around. I'm tired of being on the run and on defense, always with the devil. I today want to take my sword and I want to take back what he's stolen from me. Hallelujah! And God gave him victory because he realized Satan is a thief. He's a robber. He's a destroyer. And you don't have to live under the authority and the power of the devil any longer. You've been given authority and power. You've got to be willing to lay hold. Oh, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Hallelujah! Preached a sermon to my dog, my wife and children's dog. Call him that because I have a dog. They have a dog. I love both of them, but that's special. Little beagle, special to him. Sweet little nature dog. And goes outside. We live on a piece of property and all the time killing snakes and copperheads and things like that. She called me. She said, babe, she said Dixie, she got bit by a copperhead right in the face. Right in the face. Said, I don't know what to do. She's not breathing right. She's shaking everywhere. Thought the dog was probably going to pass away. Thought it was probably going to die. And she sent me a picture of it. Got home later that day. The dog's face, literally, I'm not exaggerating here. The side of his face had swollen to the size of a baseball. And its neck was about the size of a softball. Barely breathing, barely alive. Family not know what to do. My wife said, you know what? After that sermon you preached, me and the children laid our hands on that dog and said, we don't accept this devil. We've been given authority. I don't care if it's even the beast of the field. We've been given power and authority that they shall take up anything, drink poison, and it won't harm them. Put their hands, lay their hands on serpents, and they won't harm them. And we've been given authority. And I curse this demon in Jesus' name. The very next morning, the dog was running through the yard. Face was completely normal. You would have never known anything had happened. Why? Because she took authority over the devil, and the devil had to run because he's just a bluff. He's just a liar. And he's a liar in your life. And all you've got to say is, Satan, I curse the work and the power you have over my life. I curse your works. I curse the works of the devourer in my marriage. I curse the works of the devourer in my children. If you've got unsaved children, curse the devil in Jesus' name. And say, God, you've given me authority and power. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me if you could play something, brothers. We've been given authority and power over the devil. All you've got to do is recognize your position in Jesus. Recognize the authority and the power you have to take back your God-given property. How many here could say today, Satan, I've looked around my garage, I've looked around my house, and I've seen that you've taken some things I didn't even realize were missing. I've looked around and realized you've been coming when maybe I was sleepy and tired and unfocused. And I've looked, Satan, and I've seen you've stolen a few things. And you might have thought I was going to be content just to let you have them. You might have thought I was going to be content just to go, oh, well, I guess he's got them. But something in me says, Satan, I'm coming to your territory. I'm marching back into the enemy's camp, and I'm here to claim what's mine. I'm here to take back what's mine. Take your hands, your filthy hands, off of God's property. Oh, Lord Jesus, you see these hands that are up everywhere. We're here to claim what's ours, Lord. He's a thief, he's a robber, he's a destroyer. But you've come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Give us that abundant life. Give it to your children. Give it to marriages that are suffering. Give it to teenagers that are struggling. Give it to men and women who are in a struggle and in a battle. Give it to them, Lord Jesus. Give them faith and courage. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Restore strength to the weak. Restore strength to the weary, Lord. Satan is a robber. He's a thief. And he's stolen many things from our life. But today we're here to claim our possession in Jesus Christ. Today we're here to recognize, as your prophet said, Shamgar, suddenly it dawned on him, I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm a son of Abraham. And God made Abraham a promise. Your seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And we realize that today, Lord, that we're seed of God. We're not seed because we were reborn. But your prophet says we were seed. And therefore we are and we were reborn. You've placed an eternal attribute down inside of us, Lord. You've placed authority and power in every child of God, every son or daughter of God. Lord, and the Lord, as I remember the scripture that we read in our opening, that you looked at your disciples and said, up to this day, you've not even asked anything in my name. And you said, ask, ask, I want you to ask. Lord, maybe we could look around and see our troubles and our problems, and maybe we realize we've never asked in Jesus' name. But today, we want to raise hands and we want to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for my family. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking for my children. In the name of Jesus, I don't care what the doctor's report said. I don't care what the doctor said I had. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess He is Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus we ask. In the name of Jesus, at the mention of that name, at the sound of that name, we ask in the name of Jesus, restore faith. In the name of Jesus, restore hope. In the name of Jesus, we cast out depression. In the name of Jesus, we curse sickness. In the name of Jesus, we claim our lost loved ones. In the name of Jesus, we claim our lost health. In the name of Jesus, we claim our sanity. In the name of Jesus, we claim health spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. We claim our marriages. We claim our union. We claim our children, Father. In the name of Jesus, we're taking back what the devil has stolen from us. Oh, can you do it, friends? Can you raise a hand? Can you do it today? Can you say, I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus? I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of being a punching bag. I'm tired of always running and hiding and retreat to the devil. Today I fight. Today I march. Today I claim what God has promised me. For thou, O Lord, art a shield. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Sing that for me, Brother Harry, if you could. You want to claim what's yours? Raise your hand. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name. That's a powerful name. In Jesus' name, not in my name. Not in the name of some man, but in the name of Jesus. You've been given power.
Oh, thou, O Lord,
art
a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
Yes, you are.
You are the glory, you're the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the
that trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and I slept. When I awakened, the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory, you are the lifter of my head. I know thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory, you're the lifter of my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. Trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord my voice, he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and I slept. When I awakened, the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me. Heart is shield for me. You're the glory, you're the lifter of my head. Oh Lord, heart is shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Shield for me. You're the glory and you are the lifter up of my head. Oh, thou, Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and you are the lifter up
glory and the lifter of my head. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. In the precious name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Y'all believe that? Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, in the precious name of Jesus, tell me what can stand before Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory, man. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, who devil, Satan, you have to flee. Oh, in the precious name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Gonna lay down my burdens down by, oh, down by. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. I'm gonna study war no more. Ain't 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 gonna study war no more. Gonna put on my long white robe. Where?
Down by the riverside.
Oh, down by.
Down by the riverside.
Oh, down by.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna put on my long white robe.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna study war no more. Ain't 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 gonna study war. Ain't gonna study war no more. Gonna lay down my good and chill. Oh, down by. Oh, down by. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield. Not gonna study war no more. Said I ain't gonna study
war no more.
Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me.
I've got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. Gonna see God's face. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Move, move, move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'm gonna see God's face.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you glad for victory?
Amen.
Satan's been defeated today. He's been exposed, and he's on the run. I said he's on the run. He's running for his life. He knows sons and daughters of God have recognized their position. Sons and daughters of God have recognized who they are. They've recognized Satan is a liar, and he's stolen. He's tried to steal their property. But today we're going back to the enemy's camp. We're going to take back what he stole. Brother Branham says this in The Mighty God Unveiled. He says, remember, I love this right here. He says, remember, tell me, when a plane really looks to break the sound barrier, there's no limit to its speed. I'm telling you, when you break that traditional barrier, that Jesus is way back and he isn't now. When you find he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, there's no limit what God could do right here in this convention. And show this world what they need. Not a world's fair, but a world revival that'll be filled and baptized with the presence of the living God in morphe, enveloping himself into human flesh. Hallelujah! I believe it. He broke every barrier, every veil. Nothing could hide his presence. When people get hungry in their heart, there's a veil ready to be broke. Are you hungry today? He says when the people get hungry, there's a veil ready to be broke. You can just depend on that. He ripped every veil, and he stands here tonight, the mighty conqueror. Same yesterday, today, and forever, healing the sick. Did he heal the sick today? How many of you came up for prayer? Say, he healed the sick. I believe. He's healing the sick, baptizing the believers just as he always did. He's the mighty conqueror, and doomed devils are on the run. Hallelujah. He says they always are when Jesus is around. I say doomed devils are on the run, and God's army is marching. Praise the Lord. We'll sing this as you go. I pray that the word was a blessing. It's been a pleasure to be here with you this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord.
A beginning.
Oh, sing it.
One with God, the Lord Most High.
Amen.
Your hidden glory and creation. Christ, my King, what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us.
Oh, yes.
So Jesus,
you brought heaven down.
Sin was great, your love was great.
It was great.
What could separate us now? What
stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. No equal now and forever. My God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Against. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
I guess you can be dismissed, folks, if you want to.
For he is holy.